For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Versions of everlasting life. And we started looking at the conversation that led up to that. We said there is a certain man in the picture whose name is? Alright, so Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he started calling him names. Man of God, teacher of the body of Christ. You are the only one that has taught me that I understood. But Jesus he wasn't bought by all of that. He asked he made a golden statement in verse 3, John 3, 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we really need to look at this properly, because this statement is God's utterance. And we said, that settles it. If God says what it takes to be a part, which is what see the kingdom of God, what it takes to be a part of God's kingdom is to be born again. Then that's what it is. So earlier in the morning, we looked at what other factors have people, you know, wiped around the feet of being born again. We've seen restitution. Abby?
Yes,
we've seen baptism. You saw baptism in the morning?
Yes,
come on, did we?
Yes,
all right. And we said, God's word still remains true. How is a man part of God's kingdom? John 3. Being born again. We began to, just like Nicodemus, how can a man be born the second time if he already is an adult? Then Jesus says, what I'm talking about is to be born of water. Or like the UK people will say it, to be born of water. I just hope you are not born of water. Be born of water. And we began to evaluate the use of water by the prophets. Right? We started from Isaiah, and Isaiah used water for the Spirit. I will pour out water upon the Isaiah 44 verse 3. I'll pour water upon the thirsty soul, upon him that is wearied. So will I pour out my Spirit upon his sons. Ezekiel 36:25 and 26. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. Then in verse 26, Ezekiel 36, he makes it clear. I'll give a new spirit I'll give it to you. And I'll take away the stony out of flesh. And I'll give you out of flesh. So again, we've seen it clearly so far. The use of water. Abby? On the side, in the morning. Mentioned good news from a far country. Water to a thirsty soul. We was also using it in John 7, right? From verse 36 to 39, 7 to 39, thereabout, where if any man thirsts, let him come to me to drink. If any man thirsts, let him come to me to drink. So again, you've seen Jesus' water will be the Spirit. So what was the intent of John's baptism? Now to hear from the back. What was the intent of John's baptism? To show them the work. To show them what? What Christ has done, will do, alright. To show them the work of the Spirit to come. To show them the work of the Spirit to come. So again, we began to look at that conversation, which is very important. So, he says, except a man be born again, we say, genao anothing. Which means to be born from above. To be born from above. Meaning that, what saves a man is not good works. Good works are good. Amen. It's good to be upright. You know, well, you go to church, you pray, love your neighbor, you give to the poor. So we got to evaluate how a man is born. So we say we are children of God. Jesus says, that means a man is born from above, right? John 3:3, right? Then in John 3:5, he uses the same, born of water. This time around, we evaluated the use of water to not be amniotic fluid. and to, that's the most funny one, and to not be baptism, right? So we said the use of water by Jesus is from what we call the Old Testament. Isaiah used it for the Spirit of God. Ezekiel used it for a new spirit. And of course, when you see a new spirit, that will happen when? Upon the resurrection, we saw Jesus laying hold to the same in John 7. If any man thirst, let him come to me, and I will give him water to drink. Then he says this, he spoke about the spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living waters. And we said, out of whose belly? You or Jesus? Because the water he's talking about is the spirit. So out of whose belly will flow the spirit? Alright, again, the belly is not his stomach. The belly will be the resurrection. Abi, when was the spirit given? Abi, John 7:39, upon the resurrection. So when he says out of his belly, out of his womb will flow the spirit. So again, what brings a man to God is not water, is not oil, is not handkerchief, is not titles. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is by faith, and it's by faith in God's word. Salvation is by faith, and it's by faith in God's word. Just like we saw earlier on in Ezekiel's army, right? In Ezekiel 37. Dry bones, speak to them. Only you can do it, Lord. Say, thus hear the Lord. Then the dry bones come alive, flesh comes upon them, and they become a mighty army. We said, is that a new creation? Is that a new creation? But it's going to come alive by the wind. The wind blows where it wants. No man knows, but you hear the sound. That sound will be the gospel. Abi, you have looked at all of these ones yesterday night and this morning. So we said, if a man is born from above, that means he's a child of God. Come on, are those simple facts now? He's a child of God, right? Look at John 1. We'll just look at some facts. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Again, don't join the mischievous people. I'm not set to pick out anyone. I don't have time for religious arguments. But you cannot say children of God are different from sons of God. That is a total waste of time. I've explained to you before that oftentimes, especially in the epistles, if you see sons of God, then there is always an inheritance in that context. Either he's going to talk about redemption of our body, or he's talking about the spirit within, then it says sons of God, because he wants to mention your inheritance. But if he says children of God, he's just talking generally. That makes sense? Either way, it's one and the same thing. The sons of God are the children of God. The children of God are the sons of God. So I'm a child of God. Alright, so to them that believe on his name, in Romans 8, verse 14, you know that one well. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. See, I'm led by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Galatians 1. So we are children of God. And that is by what? By the Spirit. Can we say that's by the resurrection? Are we saying the same thing? That's by the resurrection. That's by the Spirit. That's by the above. Which one again? That's by the again. We are going to write Galatians 1. Sorry, no Galatians 1. Galatians 3. Verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Tell someone beside you, you are a child of God. Say, bro, do you know that? How many more of sis? What's happening? How many more of sis? Say, bro, sis, you are a child of God. Hallelujah. For as many, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Again, we looked at the word baptizing earlier in the day, right? Right? We said you cannot just, every time you hear baptized, you cannot say it means water. John already said Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So again, baptism can have variations in its usages. That is not just water. Alright, good. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, now are we, or are we going to be? 1 John 3:1. Read it now. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Some people are looking for 1 John. It's not close to Exodus. It's far from Exodus. So yeah. 1 John 3, verse 1. That we should be called. Wait. Are we sons of God? Have we settled that one? We are sons of God. We are children of God. From where? From the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the resurrection. Sorry, were you there in the resurrection? By faith in his resurrection, you identify with his death, burial, and his resurrection. Now you are a child of God. Will that stick to you for life? Will that stick to you for life? Even when you don't hear my voice, you remember that you're a child of God. Let it stick. I'm a child of God. So we said we are children of God by faith. And that happened in the resurrection. Look at Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, that popular prayer we pray every time. In verse 16, it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, always making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Verse 18, what is the riches of his glory of his inheritance of the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly, far above all principality and power and might. Now this Jesus and dominion and every name that is named, not only this world, but also that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And you, he has quickened, who were once dead in your trespasses. You know, you didn't know all of this one, so. You are not born when this one was written. Yet it says, you are the quickened. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the priest of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath as others. Can we read verse 4 to 6 together? But God, who is rich in mercy, for in the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly. But observe the where it changed. But you he has quickened. So, at the resurrection, everything changed. The resurrection was the turning point. There was a program I used to watch when I was younger, Turning Point. The resurrection was the turning point. Now, did the prophet say this? That when, listen very well, we are looking at, we are now sons of God, right? Born of the Spirit, born again, what else? Born of water. Let's put everything together. Born of water, born of the Spirit, born from above, alright? And we said all of this started where? When the Spirit was given. By the resurrection. Now the question is, why did Jesus tell Nicodemus, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know it? Because it appeared that as he was talking about being born of God, Nicodemus ought to understand that there will come a time when the Spirit of God will come to a man and man will become a living soul. Ezekiel 37. You know? That vision we saw, that Ezekiel's vision. Verse 12. This one is important. Verse 12 to 14. Therefore prophesy, say unto them, to Israel, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Ezekiel 37:12. Okay, I'll wait for you. You should have your Bible. Do you think you are coming to mosque? Amen. Is the Bible really there? Alright? Ezekiel 37:12, are you there now? I thought I would hear a louder yes. Are you there?
Yes.
Alright. Therefore prophesy, say to Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come out of your graves. I don't understand. How do you talk to living people and tell them, I will cause you to come out of your graves? They can hear you. They are alive. As far as we are concerned in the flesh. So, you're talking to someone. Imagine as I'm talking to you now. And I say, I will cause you to come out of your grave. You look at, I say, Pastor, God forbid. I'm not in the grave. But he's talking to living people. And he says, I will cause you to come out of your grave. Does that explain John 3:6? That which is born of the flesh is, that which is born of the spirit is. So what was Jesus saying to Nicodemus? What needs a new start is not the body. What needs a new start is the spirit. What is born again is the spirit. That's why when you were born again, nothing changed outwardly. Probably even your likes and dislikes did not change really. Your talents did not cease. Maybe you knew how to run. Suddenly you are just slow like snail. And I say, it's because I'm born again now. You know, we born again. We are not fast like that. We only fast. Shouldn't die. Amen? No. Nothing changed outward because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So I'll cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Interesting. Verse 13. And you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and have brought you out of your graves. Can we read verse 14 together? And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall, again, they are alive, but he said you will live. So again, you are seeing that the prophet kept saying, a man without God's spirit is not alive to God. What makes a man alive to God is the spirit of God in the life of a man. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. And you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Amen. Is it getting clearer now? So, we are born of the Spirit. Now, let's look at a portion in the Psalms that speaks about the resurrection. And now we are children of the resurrection. You want to look at it? You want to look at it? How we are children of the resurrection. By David. King David. Now, whatever I'm about to teach now, pay attention. Psalm 127, popular psalm. Pay attention, please. Are we there? Psalm 127? Alright. Except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For he gives his beloved sleep. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows is in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of your youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Amen. There is nothing in this verse, the verses I just read, that is about children. Before you attack me, wait. I know you are saying, children are the heritage of the Lord. They've told you they will surround your table. Children will surround your table. What else? I've said it before too. It's not bad. Most people want children, amen? Don't force some people that don't want. Some people don't. But is that not a free disciple if you have a child? That's the way I think about it, yeah? It's not like I will force them. For example, my child cannot support Chelsea. You cannot stay in my house. I am serious. I'm not joking. You support Chelsea, you move out. Go to your mother's people's house. Number one, I don't want you to be losing in life. Amen. I don't want you to be 11th in class when you can be first. And you blame your teachers. And you have three teachers in one term. That cannot be an addition. You know? Amen. Amen. I want you to have weapons. I want you to be top. Even though it might not be for long. I speak in parables. Amen. If you don't understand, don't go and start fighting now. It's not in Samu. What I'm just saying now. But let's look at it. So again, we are looking at the resurrection. Don't forget where we're looking at. We're looking at being born of the Spirit. We said that's by the resurrection. We said by the resurrection, we are children of God. Then we say, except the Lord builds the house. Verse 1 is equivalent to not of works. He's saying, whatever you are going to see, the Lord must be the one doing it. It must be his own work. Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain, those that build it. That is, salvation cannot be by works. You cannot work for it. He said they will stay awake. It's in vain. It doesn't work. What says a man is the sacrifice of Jesus. What says a man is the victory of the cross. Not what you did. Not because you pray enough. Not because you take fasts. Not because you give. Except the Lord builds a house. Is it getting clear now? The labor in vain that builds it. Except the Lord watches the city. They stay awake. It's in vain. Oh, if I get baptized by water, which is not wrong. I don't even have to believe anything. Yeah, I just want to be baptized by water. I'm eating communion. I've said it before. There's nothing wrong with the communion. With the communion by the Spirit. Or by bread. Personally, I would like it, but not bread. Amen. I mean, I can do it in our church. If someone volunteers a ram or something like that. Or malu. No, malu. Malu is different from cow. If you kill cow, it cannot be enough. Malu. Malu is always enough. If give us malu and wine every Sunday, you think we'll not eat it? We'll not be eating the body of Christ. But you cannot say because you are eating that, that is the basis of your faith. No. Salvation is by believing in the gospel and in the gospel alone. In the gospel and in the gospel alone. So, who will do it? Like Ezekiel said, can this, God asked him, can these dry bones live? Did Ezekiel say, of course. He said, only you can do it. Amen. Is it making sense now? Only you, Lord, can do it. David is saying, except the Lord built it, it can't be built. You might feign salvation. Mm-mm. It's not the Lord's salvation. But let's move on. You're not where we want. Except the Lord watches the city. Those that watch, they stay awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For the Lord gives his beloved sleep. You understand that one? That's a Genesis. That's a Genesis verse. That's Adam. That's Jesus. Alright? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The word children is what may deceive us there. Because you might be looking at it as kids. Or toddlers. You know, it's only on Children's Day that they quote these verses. Children are the heritage of the Lord. On Women's Day. Is that Women's Day? Eh? There's always Mother's Day. Where every mother wear white. Am I right? Eh? Every mother wear white and maybe tie gold gele. That day. Now, serious show. Everybody must know. We addition us. Yeah. Eye upon eye. Jewelry upon jewelry. It is mother's. Nobody will quote children at the heritage of the Lord. What they will quote is some Proverbs 31, the righteous woman. On men's day, I beg, what thing did they quote? No, there's no quote for it. So let us just respect them. Let us honor them as the head of the home. But children say, yeah, children are the heritage of the Lord. So that word children might deceive you. But it's used 103 times in Psalms, so we can't go through all of the usages. But it's the Greek word B-E-N, actually pronounced as bane, but it's B-E-N. Let's look at the word children in Psalms. In Psalm 2, are you with me? Come, are you with me this afternoon? All right. Psalm 2. Again, we are looking at how the man in Christ is born of the resurrection and is now a child of God, right? Because there's no way you just use born. Born means you are brought forth to be someone's child, right? Psalm 2 verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. Please, who is he talking about? Jesus or David? Jesus, all right, good. So, he calls Jesus a son. That word son is the word children. So you can see that he's not talking about toddlers or kids. But let's move on. In Psalm 3 verse 1. Psalm 4 verse 2. I'll start from verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Verse 2 says, O you sons of men. That word sons of men is the word children are the heritage of the Lord. That children. So you sons of men. Sorry. The sons of men there, are they all kids? Hey, God. Are they all toddlers? Very, very likely old men are there. Abi? But it says, you sons of men. You see the same thing in Psalm 8. Verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him. The son of man is talking about the entire humanity. So it's not an age thing. It's more like someone who gets something from you. Someone who gets something from you. Today I declare you my son. I have begotten you. Someone who gets something from you. What is the son of man that you have had mercy on him? Okay, good. You also see it in Psalm 11 verse 4. Because of time. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is his throne. His eyes run through the children of men. The children of men. Again, he's not talking about kids. A grandpa will be there. His eyes run through the children of men. You see it in Psalm 21 verse 10. Psalm 31 verse 19. Psalm 44 verse 1. Psalm 45 verse 1. The son of Korah. Psalm 45 verse 1. Psalm 53 verse 2. And so on and so forth. Again, we just have to go through that. That is not about age. Is that clear now? So when you have children at the end of the law, it's not about age. It's about your son. So go back to Psalm 127. That's where we are. Right? Please pay attention. Don't forget, for Jesus to say, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Meaning, quite a lot of his statements to Nicodemus are embedded in the prophets. How a man is born of the Spirit. How a man now becomes a child of God. Is embedded in the prophet. It says, children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Number one question. Does God have a womb? Some say it's not God's womb. It's my womb. Okay. So, the fruit of your womb is God's reward. Maybe we don't look at the reward part. We are just answering questions. Amen. Children are the inheritance of the Lord. The word heritage there. Your portion. Your portion. I don't know why I didn't even put the Hebrew word. So children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Okay. Okay. We said heritage means your portion, Abby. What you get as a reward. Then it says children is how God is rewarded. Or children, by having children, God is rewarded. God, children are God's portion. What about Jezebel? She's someone's child. What about Goliath? Is Goliath the heritage of the Lord? Is Herod the fruit of, is it the reward for the fruit of the womb to the Lord? Questions. Intelligent, interpretative questions. I thought that, right? Daniel the Prophet series 4. Five. You must learn how to ask questions. Reading scripture, you ask questions. If all children are the heritage of the Lord, including the armed robbers, children are the heritage of the Lord. Boom! I am his reward. You. Including Chelsea fans? Let's talk about it. No, let's be real. You see, you think Chelsea fans are God's portion? Cannot be. They belong somewhere that we don't know. I can allow... Man, you hate them too. Liverpool, I just hate them this season. They've not done anything for me before. Our path I've never crossed. But they hurt me this year. The question is, which child is the portion of God? And if you have been following from yesterday night, moment you hear womb, your mind goes where? To the grave, right? Come on, right? So when he says the fruit of the womb, who is the fruit of the womb? I'm hearing teachers of the body of Christ. Who is the fruit of the womb? We have read Ezekiel 37. I will bring you out from your graves. We have read Ephesians 1 to 2. He brought Christ out from the grave and you too. In Matthew 16, I will build my church. and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So who is the fruit of the grave? Okay. You know that by the time you take you can't actually not be wrong. Who is the fruit of the womb? The church. Is it you? So he quickened us from the grave. Let's put it better. Every man that has believed the gospel. So when yet children are the heritage of the Lord. Abi, is Jezebel the heritage of the devil? Children are the heritage of the Lord. He's talking about the resurrection. That is, what God got out of the resurrection is sons. What God got out of resurrection are his children. Is it getting clearer now? Alright. So, children is not every child in the world. I'm sorry. As long as you say babies are cute and all of that, not every child in the world is God's portion yet. But we can make it be, right? Hallelujah. It's in our hands, right? Right? We can preach the gospel. We can see the entire world saved. Amen. It will happen. As waters cover the sea, the glory of God will cover the earth. But right now, are all children the heritage of the Lord? Do all children belong to God? No. He clears this immediately. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Not your womb. Just the same way you don't say, out of his belly shall flow. It's not your belly. Oh, you think, one Hindu woman, has belly. Is pregnant. The fruit of your womb is his reward. How? A child that will still persecute the gospel. Are we getting clear now? So, what did God do to warrant a reward? He built the house. He watched the city. That's salvation. Don't forget, every time you see house and city, they are used for people. They are used for people, kingdoms. Welcome to Zion, the city of the living God. God is the one that built it. Abraham desired a city whose builder and maker is God. God is the one that builds the city. Not you. Not your works. So if you allow God to do that, he says, then the children that comes from the womb, from the resurrection, from the grave, they are the portion of the Lord. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Is that clear now? You are in believers' meeting, so I'll still get time to teach it properly in service. Let's look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Is this Ezekiel's prophecy literally? The army is rising. That is, God is now going to use them. The fruit of the womb is God's portion, is God's reward. He's going to use them like arrow in the hand of a mighty man. I think that one is straightforward. The one I want us to look at is verse 5. Are you learning something? Verse 5 says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And I've heard this one before, and you're talking to people who just got married. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will surround your table. And so, you two in your head, as you are hearing this, my quiver. Fill of your quiver. So, is this sad is the man whose quiver is not full of them? Abba. So let's look at it very well. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Again, if your quiver is full of them, now you are doing excellence in your discipleship. Amen. He says they will speak with the enemy in the gate. The word speak there is the word dabar. D-A-B-A-R. Again, let's clear the air on what we have said so far. A man is born from above, born by the Spirit, and born of God by the resurrection, by believing in what Jesus has done for him. Abi? Is that clear? Then we said, by being born, that means you are a child of God. Abi? And we said, like Ezekiel's prophecy, he will put his Spirit and will bring them out of the grave. Did we see that in Ephesians? Eh? Hey, if you are sleeping, say yes, sir. Okay. So, we said he will bring them out of the grave, right? Come on. We now went to David. That's where everywhere went quiet. I know you like children and all of that. You are the heritage of the Lord. You want to give out to twins 5 times. Congrats in advance. Twins are beautiful. Well, congrats. Are there twins here? Okay. Okay, I can see one at the back. Any other one? Why? Is that it? Okay. I won't talk. But blessed is the man whose quiver is full of twins. Sorry. Whose quiver is full of the children that are the portion of the Lord. If a man has 200 children and they are all not saved, sorry, is he blessed? Eh? So it's not about just having children. It's not about just having children. It's about having people who are born of the Spirit.
What's the sound?
Alright? So, let's look at the word Daba. Are you there? It says they will speak with the enemies in the gate. D-A-B-A-R. Now, it means literally to speak. But in this case, now that's why I asked you to get a Greek dictionary. If you are a member of Glorious House Church, by now I think you should have it. Even if it's an app. Get it. Now, if you look at your dictionary very well, you will discover that Daba sometimes is used for to subdue. And if you are using a Greek dictionary, the way it will give it to you, it will write out all the usages of that word. Then, if you pick out a verse, let's say you took it from Psalm 127 verse 5, for example now, it will tell you that in Psalm 127 verse 5, this one is not to speak. This one means to subdue. So it's always very clear. So, they will subdue the enemy at the gate. You find the same word speak in Psalm 18. Verse 47. It is God that avenged me and subdued the people under me. The word subdue there is actually the same word daba, to speak. Psalm 18:47. Psalm 47 verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Amen. He shall subdue the people under us and the nation under our feet. Again, the word daba. Even Psalm 2 verse 5. I'll just read it. He shall speak to them in his wrath. Let's have Psalm 2. Open Psalm 2. I like this one. Psalm 2. Are you there? Verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands and sunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. Can we verse 4 and 5 together? Then shall he speak to them in his wrath. Wait, he shall speak to them in his wrath. You think he's God now saying, I'm angry. No, he will subdue them. That's the word about that. He will subdue them in his wrath. He will subdue them in his wrath. Is that making sense now? Come on, is that making sense? So we are sons of God because of the resurrection. We are born of his Spirit. Are you? Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Then what do we do? What do we become? We now become like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Who is the mighty man here? Come on, who is the mighty man here? God himself. We now become like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We will subdue the enemy at the gates. So the outpouring of the Spirit makes us children of God, but much more, it gives us a work to do. Gives us a work to do. What is the work? In his hands, we subdue the enemy. The believer has a purpose. What did I say? Eh? We subdue the enemy. That's one of the things we see with a man born of the Spirit. Just like Jesus. Look at Jesus speaking in Luke 4. I want to start to close very soon. In Luke chapter 4, are you there? We are looking at the outpouring of the Spirit. So far, we've seen we are children of God. But we are not just children of God to a dead end. Right? It's for a purpose. And what is the purpose in this session? To be like arrows in the hand of the mighty man. To subdue the enemy at the gates. Luke 4, verse 18. Can we read together 18 and 19, everybody? Read it like you mean it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty, they that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And he closed the book. Hallelujah. Pray for me as I close. The outpouring of the Spirit is towards this end. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is how we subdue the enemy. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Is this you? Is this for you? If you're born of the Spirit and you're not doing this, you're not living up to your name. You're not living up to the task. What does God want from you? To subdue the enemy. He says the children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hands of the mighty man. That's what they are. He says they will speak with the enemies at the gates. They will subdue the enemy at every opening. They won't allow the work of darkness to thrive. Then Jesus comes in his own incarnation. He says, that's by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So the outpouring of the Spirit is to an end. The outpouring of the Spirit is to an end. It's not just so we sit in church and shout glory. It's not so we just sing, rejoice. All of those things are good. But listen to me. God wants you to subdue your enemy. He wants you to preach. To announce his name all over the world. To shout at the rooftops and say, Jesus is Lord. He needs your voice. He wants you. He wants you to preach. He wants you to preach. He wants you to preach. For so long, some of us have been like Nicodemus. Listen to me very well. Listen to me very well. We've been like Nicodemus. Come to Jesus at night. You don't want to be recognized with him in the day. You don't want people to call you names. You don't want everybody to say, you are a Jesus person. So you come to him at night. You love him, but not in the day. You want him, but only at night. When nobody can see. But God is calling you out. He's calling you out. He's calling your name. Jesus says, for every man that is born of the Spirit, Luke 4:18 is for you. You read it to yourself every time. Are you listening to me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. Meaning that we are going to meet people who are heartbroken. People who feel that God has disappointed them. People who feel that God has failed them. People who feel that the Spirit of God is not real. They are broken hearted. You say, that's the reason why he anointed you. That's the exact reason why he gave you his Spirit. To heal the broken hearted. All around Nigeria. All around West Africa. All around Africa. All around the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's upon me. The outpouring of the Spirit is massive on my life. To heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. To preach deliverance to the captives. We must get our task right. Amen. We must get our task right. That means there are people who are captives. David called them the captives of the mighty. The captives of the mighty. People who the devil has gotten them. He has tied them down. You see them on the street. You think he's just every normal guy. He's just a guy. No. He's a captive of the devil. But no more. No more. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. To set them free. To set them free that are bound. That's what the outpouring of the Spirit is for. We are not just born of the Spirit so that we can shout glory. We are born of the Spirit to preach his name. He says, recovering of sight to the blind. I love this. I love this one. Set them at liberty that are bruised. You read it to yourself every time. Read it in the morning, read it at night. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Loruko Jesu, Mari Kapairo Zelegadisho. Egori de Solega Bara Tuzenege de Bandas. Lika ni mazum belekeke babado shadaba. Rede do shabada tatagatison. If he says you can subdue the enemy, then you can. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. We are entering into new waters, where the will of God is done, where the will of God is seen, where we do the will of God with ease. So long have you found it difficult, but no more. So long have you found it tasking, but this is your nature. He says, when you were born of the Spirit, you became like an arrow in the hand of the mighty man. My arrow is sharp. He says, like an arrow in the hand of the mighty man. We are shooting. We are shooting for Christ. Like an arrow in the hand of the mighty man. He says, they will subdue the enemy. At every opportunity we get. Jesus did not fail God. You know, he stood in front of that temple and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is what he's going to do. This month, this year, I'll preach the gospel. He says, the Spirit of God through me can heal the brokenhearted. People who don't have their lives together. People who think they have failed in life. People who think that it can never work out again. People that when they look at the mirror, they say to themselves, you're just a failure. When they look at the mirror, they say, nothing can work. I'll just live every day like that. He said, he has sent you to them. He has sent you to them. He says, you will heal the brokenhearted. I believe for it, Lord. I believe for it, Lord. There's still much more in 2023 for me. I believe for it, Lord. This is my nature. This is who I am. To set the captives free. There are people that the devil thinks he already has them. Finished. This one is a finished work. This one, nothing can come out of him. Till you come around. Till you come around. Just one quiet evening of outreach. And as you begin to speak, the fire of the Holy Ghost will begin to burn. As Jesus spoke to them on the road to Emmaus, they said, did our heart not burn within us while he spoke to us? Did our heart not burn? That's what the Spirit of God does. No longer are we going to shy away from the mandate. No longer. No longer. No longer are we going to come to Jesus at night. No. No longer. No longer. No longer are we going to be Nicodemus at night. No. No. We stay there. Come rain, come sunshine. The word and the Spirit. The glory of the Lord in the streets. The risen Christ still walking on the street of men. Healing the brokenhearted. Setting the captives free. And we are bringing more army. We are bringing more army. Hallelujah. More men are yielding to Jesus. More men are yielding to Jesus. More men are yielding to Jesus. Amen. So that's us. That's who we are. We must recognize this one daily. Sometimes you're just going out on outreach. Read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. To set at liberty those who are bond. I carry this up. To heal the brokenhearted. That means you are born of the Spirit to restore hope. You will restore hope to many lives. People who have given up on themselves. People who either they must have thought themselves they can never serve God. Nothing can come out of this one. You will restore hope. You will lose people from bondage. By the Spirit of God. You open prison doors. Prison of depression. Prison of ignorance. We open prison doors. We open prison doors. By the Holy Ghost. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. I am God's aiming arrow. To subdue the enemy. To subdue the enemy. Where has he put you? Where has he put you? Where has he put you? Subdue the enemy there. I told you in the morning, they asked Jesus, are you the Son of God? He said, now, yes. Now, yes. But after now, you will see the Son of God at the right hand of God. You will see him. You will see him in you. The Pharisees saw him. Shortly after he rose from the dead. Shortly after he rose from the dead. Peter stood up. And you are looking at him. Peter, the one that denied Jesus. This guy is shy. And he said, listen to me, men and brethren of Israel. I'm come to speak to you about Jesus. The same one you crucified and killed. And you're looking at him. He's speaking like Jesus. In Acts 3, they went to the temple. The man could not walk. He had been there for years. And just the way Jesus would do it. He says, silver and gold we don't have. But we have something that is more than that. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Bible says the man did not just walk, he was leaping. It takes energy to leap. He was leaping. The Son of Man is at the right hand of God. The Son of Man is at the right hand of God. In Acts 4, they saw them. Said, we take note that these men have been with Jesus. So they beat them. They beat them. They slapped them, they mocked them. Bible says they went back to church. And the next thing was they were praying. They were praying. Bible says, what are they praying for? They said, give us more boldness to preach. These are not Nicodemuses. These ones, they are identifying with Jesus in the day. They are not going to hide away in the darkness of the night. They are not going to hide away at work. They are not going to hide away in school. They are not going to hide away on campus. They are not going to hide away on the streets. When it's time to show up, they will show up and be counted. They'll be counted. When the Lord is numbering his armies, I'm in the number. I don't come at night. I'm in the number. I'm in that mighty army. That one Ezekiel saw. I'm there. The outpouring of the Spirit. There's no point having church. We just gather every Sunday and we go. No. He called us together to preach his word. To eat the streets. To set the captives free. There are people waiting for you. Names unknown. Faces unseen. Names unheard of. You don't even know them. Some of them are not even Nigerians. But they are waiting for you. All around the world. All around the world. All around the world. All around the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He has anointed you. To preach the gospel to the poor. Is that what you would do?
Yes, sir.
I can't hear you. Is that what you would do?
Yes, sir.
Year after you will see the Son of Man. On the right hand of God. Did the Pharisees see it? The chief priests, did they see it?
Yes, sir.
They saw it. 3,000 were saved. Not more than 2 weeks. 5,000 were saved. He said, the guy said it. He said, we will see it. We will see it coming in clouds. In numbers. We will see it. We will see the children who are the heritage of the Lord. We will see it. We believe for it. We believe for it. We believe for it. It's happening in every place. It's happening. Thank you. It's happening. It's happening. We subdue the enemy. I have the right words. I have the right words. I have the right words. The Spirit of God is with me. Walking in me and walking through me. So these are the days of discipleship. Is that clear? There are days to take God's work more seriously. Don't hide away in the night. Don't hide away in the darkness of the night like Nicodemus. You want to learn what? But you just don't want to be doing, you know, I'm not like that kind of Christian. No, that's not too good. We are born from above. Let us stick, amen? The risen Christ, he has prolonged his days now. He's in us. His days are prolonged. The devil thought it was over when he left. His days are prolonged. The risen Christ is still walking on the street. He walks on Elasa every day. He walks at Isolo. He walks at Ago. He walks at Akoka. He walks at Bariga. He walks at Ikorodu, at Ketu, at Ebeda, at Songo, at My 12. In Ibadan, Challenge, Orita, Bode, Agbowo. The risen Christ is on your streets. Hallelujah. With mighty signs and wonders. With mighty signs and wonders. Deaf ears have been unstopped. Blind eyes have been opened. The dumb begin to speak. The lame begin to walk. It is by the Holy Ghost. Can you pray for yourself this evening? I know who I am. And I'm walking in it. I know who I am. And I'm walking in it. This is my reality. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. I'm your Lord Jehovah. I'm better than me. What if you are your royal me? Lati wasu fun awon igbe o do wa ni gbekun. O ti fi ami ororo yan mi. I stand in the name of Jesus. He at the gates. And I declare Jesus is Lord all over the nations. Jesus is Lord all over Nigeria. Jesus is Lord all over Africa. Jesus is Lord. We begin to see it. A multiplicity of others. Multiplicity of harvests. 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 By the Spirit of the Lord. Lord God Jesus. It's happening. Massively. Massively. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His hand is mighty upon my life. His work is in my hands. And his hand is in my work. His hand is in my work. His hand is in my work.